Well, that psalm reminds me we've been doing weddings wrong all these years. The bridesmaids are supposed to come in after the bride, not before the bride. So if you take scripture as a prescription, there you go. So do something about it. And Paul's a bit of a downer, so I'll get us into Paul here in a way. I want to ask you to chew on a question just briefly, and I want you to really go at it and give yourself permission to be honest with yourselves about your answer. And you don't have to popcorn it out, so if you're embarrassed about your answer, that's okay. Just hang on to it. But the question is this. It's a real question. Why are you here right now? Seems obvious, right? So I want you to sit with it for a second. Why are you here right now? Work through the easy answer. Get to the truth. Why are you here, honestly? Of the millions of different places you could be, why are you here right now? I'm here because 23 years ago, I met a girl. That girl changed everything. I had by then been for nearly 2 years self-destructive, independent, college freshman stuff. It wasn't pretty. I had a yoke over my shoulder. But of course, you know, yokes are made for two. I only had one. And so when you have a yoke made for two sitting on the shoulder of one, you can imagine the weight goes like this, and the corner post sits in the middle, and what you do then for that year and a half is you just walk in circles. Right? You have the image? Just walk in circles. No helpful direction. I could really only get so far out of bounds because I at least was just stuck in circles. There was danger, no doubt, inside and outside of that circle. And there I was, just walking in circles. And then I met this girl. And 18 years ago, we got married. In the colloquial, we got hitched. We hitched our lives to one another. Which is to say that this courageous, in many ways foolish, girl agreed to take up the other half of the yoke. We agreed to bind our lives together. We agreed to share a journey, which means we agreed to enjoy the good times and the bad times. We agreed to enjoy the levity of coming down a hill after great success at the mountaintop. We also agreed to share the weight of walking uphill together in so many ways. We agreed to bear each other's hopes and dreams. We agreed to bear each other's joys and deep disappointments. We agreed to the push and pull of a shared life. We agreed to wander in directions that often were not the direction of our own choosing, because that's what we do when we're bound to someone else who has agency and power. They might take the yoke in a direction we might not have chosen for ourselves. And we discover over the course of a lifetime this sort of pushing and pulling, and while early on it may have looked like this, and then maybe it steadies out and looks like this for a while, and then another chapter of life starts to look like this again. And over the course of a lifetime, though, you can see a trajectory to it, right? There's a direction to it. If not a straight line, there's a direction to it, right? Which is the blessing of east, west, north, and south being such wide, expansive directions. You can be heading west and not be heading due west. Such is the nature of a shared life with a shared yoke. 18 years ago this month, we did that and have been yoked since. Many of us have been yoked to various people in our lives. Yes, there are days we'd like to get them off the yoke and use the yoke to... Yeah. It's not always easy. It challenges us. And sometimes we do need to get off the yoke, and that's part of yoking as well. Because in the midst of yoking, we figure out who we are, what we need, we figure out what our non-negotiables are, we figure out what our right contribution is to the relationship. And from time to time, we agree, can we still abide by this yoking? Right? Constant renegotiation as our lives are transformed through the experience of being intimately bound to one another. And it takes a lifetime. I would like to believe I'm a much better person than I was 23 and 18 years ago. But you'll have to ask my yoke partner. It's probably very incremental. But that's the idea, that being together somehow changes us and transforms us more into that image and likeness of God for which we're created. Right? That's why we do this stuff. That's why we talk about marriage as a sacrament, because in the midst of that sacrament, we see something about the nature of God and what it is that God is doing with each and every one of us in every committed relationship we have, right? That God binds us to one another because in the coming together, we're made different and hopefully more whole. Scripture commends this kind of metaphor for our relationship with God this week. Of course, we're talking oxen here, but we're talking about yokes. What does it mean to be yoked? And for folks who don't use that language on a regular basis, that is the wooden bar that goes over the top of two oxen, right? Not an egg yolk. Scripture suggests to us that we can understand our relationship with God this way, right? That it's a good way to understand a relationship with God. It's one of many images that Scripture gifts us with to understand what it is that God is doing with us, how it is God does it with us, right? We've got those images of the distant tyrant who does some crazy stuff. We've got to come to terms with that. That's within the canon. We've got images of loving father, loving mother. We've got images of king. We've got images of peace bearer. We've got images of rebel and radical. We've got images of healer. Images of prophet and pastor, shepherd. All sorts of images, right? And they all matter. But this week, the image we're given is the image of a God who wants to be yoked to us. A God who not only asks us to commit and to be yoked, which is to be wandered around with this God who takes us places we may or may not want to go, but a God who, on the other half of that, is prepared to take the risk of being yoked to us, of being led in directions and into places where maybe that God isn't really preferring to go. And that God is not only okay with that, that God has planned for that. That's a God who is with us whenever and wherever. Good times and bad. In our joy and in our despair. That if we choose to yoke ourselves to that God, is a God who will celebrate with us our greatest triumphs. And a God who will grieve with us in the midst of our worst tragedy. It's a God we can count on. A God who walks with us, a God who is patient, who is deeply understanding. And a God who, over the course of a lifetime, will move us from this kind of path to a path that may be something a little more straight, a little more in alignment. And this is a God who's patient enough to do that with us. This is a God who accommodates us in our desire to wander, a God who recognizes our right to be free, a God who recognizes in failure great opportunity for new successes, a God who abides with us, who is knotted to us. That's different than a God who we're simply here to please. It's very different than a God who we're afraid of. It's very different than a God who says, you better get the rules right or you're going to be punished eternally. Because this God who's bound to us, who's yoked to us, will be with us in the suffering. God is not going to cast God's self into that. This is a God who just wants to work with us. A God who wants to walk with us every step along the way. And a God who gives us gentle assurance, gentle redirections as we share the weight of this yoke on our shoulders. That's a pretty fantastic God, right? And it is the predominant image of the God of this tradition, of the Anglican and Episcopal tradition. This God who we can fall in love with, this God who's in love with us, this God that we share a life with, this God who's like water over rough stone, who makes us beautiful over the course of time. That's the God we know. That's the God we worship. That's the God we've given our lives to. That's the God with whom we find total freedom in our free obedience. We walk with that God. So why are you here right now? Why are you here right this moment? The church's primary task is to help people build a relationship with this God. It's fantastic if you build a relationship with the institution, right? The institution needs people to do its work and to create a container for us to do this other stuff in. But the end of all this isn't that. The end of all this beautiful stuff that we do is to help give us the eyes and the ears and the heart to discern this God in the world around us, to become sensitive to those little movements of God in our lives, to figure out when God's yanking us this way and I want to go this way, what is that dissonance all about? Right? We use that language of sin, but we use it this way. It's just about God wanting to yank this way and we want to yank this way. But there's a tenderness to it. And the church's task is to give us that sort of sensitivity to share a life with that God. That's why we're here. And we believe that over the course of time together, the ways that we commit to one another, we find God in that. We find God walking with us through the routine. We find God walking with us through the conflict. We find God walking with us through good times and bad times, through celebrations, through deep grieving, through change even, we find God walking with us. And it is all formative. It is all transformative. The task of this church, more than anything else, is to help each and every one of you answer the question, why are you here now, with a simple response like, because I love this God. This God loves me. And I want to deepen that relationship. I want to know more about it. I want to know how I can get more on board with this God who loves the world and who wants me to be part of loving that world. That's why we do everything we do. It's simply to help you know better how to voice your hopes and concerns to God, how to hear God's hopes and dreams for you, how to identify the patterns and practices of this God and around you, and how to give your gifts and your passions to that life. That's why we're here. That's our full meaning and purpose, is to do that. Scripture has promised us that that yoke is easy. It has also assured us that with God bearing at least half the weight, the burden of that hope will be light. May it be so. Amen.